It's the 6th of July 2020, it's Jim and it's the World of Bonds. It was a weekend where America was celebrating Independence Day, so happy Independence Day to my 8 American listeners. It's also one where Kanye West announced he'd be running for the presidency, supported by Elon Musk. And we had the jobs numbers come out just before that long weekend in the US that saw another multi-million increase in the number of people on the payroll. There's still 17.8 million Americans unemployed, and that's up 12 million from February, but nevertheless an encouraging report and one that has led risky assets higher and better into that long weekend. So if we look around the bond markets, we see US 10-year treasuries at 69 basis points, JGBs at 4, 10-year gilts at 19, having flirted with an all-time low around about a week ago. The Bund at minus 42, and when we look at credit, we're probably around 6 tighter than when we last checked in. So investment grade at 144 and high yield down at 628 basis points. So a positive tone in credit markets. Having said that, we did see outflows starting to reappear in the junk bond market. So high yield bonds and ETFs saw their biggest outflows since the dark days of March. Perhaps this is related to just profit taking, given the pretty strong performance we've seen in high yield since those moments in March. And also we've seen a record month for issuance in June as well. And, you know, another couple of defaults here and there coming through. Right, today I'm going to talk about what happens next. And, you know, the big question really for bond investors, for fixed income fund managers and everyone else. Here's what I think is going to happen. Well, you know, we've seen an opening up of lockdown pretty much everywhere in Europe, the UK and the US never really had one outside of a few areas, including New York. We're going to continue to see, therefore, a return of coronavirus. We're going to see case numbers explode higher from low levels, admittedly, in Europe and the UK now. But we will see many more cases as a result of the opening up of lockdown and an end, in effect, if you're out and around in London over the weekend, of social distancing. Having said all of that, I think we'll see that death rates are much, much lower than we saw earlier this year for a number of reasons, including much better treatment, you know, discovery that steroids reduce death rates by 20% in many cases. We've also seen perhaps the most ill people in society have already been sadly killed by coronavirus. And for those vulnerable people who remain, we kind of know how to isolate and we'll be better at doing that. So the cases will explode amongst younger people. They'll get on with it. And that will allow governments to normalise society and normalise the economics without any great desire to go back into lockdown again, albeit perhaps with a few symbolic localised lockdowns around the country. But they want to get the economy going back to normal again as a priority over coronavirus treatments. That doesn't, in my view though, mean that we're going to get what people have described as a V-shaped recovery. And I think the reason for that is really that furlough has been incredibly successful. So you look around the streets of the UK or elsewhere in the world right now, there are lots of people still being paid a high proportion of their salaries, or perhaps their full salaries, without actually doing any work at the moment. Many of them will have expectations that when furlough ends, they'll be going back into those jobs. And I think that that is unlikely. I think that a lot of people who think they're on furlough are actually unemployed at this moment, because my guess is demand doesn't come back as strongly as, you know, it won't be a straight line bounce to where we were on the growth chart. And so for me, you know, remember the taper tantrum about the Federal Reserve unwinding its balance sheet back in the day. For me, this time, the taper tantrum economically will be when furlough ends and people realise that they don't have a job to go back to. In the UK, furloughs are ending or at least tapering in August and October. We have 9.3 million people unemployed taking advantage of these furlough schemes at the moment in the UK. Many of those, I don't think, will, you know, the employers will not want to contribute to their wages once they have to take on the burden of that in August and October. So I think we'll see a second wave, not necessarily of coronavirus cases, but which I think will happen a bit earlier, but of unemployment rates going up. And that will have a deep impact on the economy, on bankruptcies, and so on. So for me, that's this end of furloughing is going to be extremely important and probably extremely damaging to economies. Now, the interesting thing, and Joe Wiesenthal of Bloomberg put out a chart last week that I thought, you know, I agree with him, is one of the most interesting in economics at the moment. And it looks at the total compensation of employees added to that government unemployment benefit. So basically incomes for people who are employed or employable at the moment. And, you know, quite surprisingly, given what happened in March and onwards in the closing of the economy, that compensation, that total compensation of employees has gone up. And that's thanks to the CARES Act in the US. Effectively, unemployment insurance has been generous. And, you know, a lot of workers are actually better off out of work at the moment than in work. They're receiving higher benefits than their wages would have covered them from. So extremely generous benefits have led to income holding up very, very well over this crisis. And that's been great news for the economy. But I do worry that we will get some tapering of these policies across Europe, the US and the UK later this year, and that's going to cause a significant drag and eliminates, in my view, the likelihood of a V-shaped recovery. It doesn't rule out the swoosh-shaped recovery, which is a more gentle upwards recovery, but it certainly does, in my view, put a damper on the idea we go back to full growth very, very quickly. Brookings Institute put out another good survey that, look, you know, kind of elaborates on Joe Wiesenthal's piece in some ways and looks at the distribution of people out of work, and it shows that really it has hit the bottom one-fifth of workers in terms of salaries. So 37% of workers in the bottom one-fifth of salary distributions have lost their jobs, compared to just 9% in the top 20%. And, you know, that has distributional consequences, it has economic consequences as well. You know, those 37% of workers who've lost their jobs have high marginal propensities to consume. So, the top 20% save most of their money, the bottom 20% spend most of their money. And if those incomes do disappear later this year, once furloughs end, I think that's going to be quite negative for economies. Remember, this coincides as well with the US presidential election. So let's see what Kanye's ticket suggests he's going to be running on. But, it'll be an interesting election in the background of economics that look pretty bleak.